and welcome to the podcast of the Damned. My name is Ian, and as always, joining me today is my co-host Nico. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I've kind of been excited to talk about this movie because there's loads to talk about, and this is a movie that really divides opinion.
Well, there's like four schools of thought on it,
and we shall get into those four schools of thought. Like, I've got a feeling we might run a little bit longer than normal in today's episode because there's a lot to unpack.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to unpack. But how's your week been? Watched anything horror-related this week?
I've started doing 12-hour shifts at a job, so not a lot's been watched. It's basically
that in itself is,
bed.
Is, that in itself is horror.
It is the site I'm on as well. It's fucking shit.
I've been pretty busy this week as well. I've not watched a huge amount of horror stuff. Today's movie is it. So like I say, we are a horror podcast that deep dives into a different topic every single week in our quest to create a leaderboard of the best and worst horror movies of all time. This is episode number 18, and in today's show, we are talking about American Psycho. You can follow us on social media. Just go to Twitter at Damned Podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Just go to Podcast of the Damned. You can email us podofthedamned@gmail.com. Email us and have your messages read out during the mailbag segment of the show. We have a mailbag segment this week. Yay! You can also leave us voicemails as well. The link to how to do that is in the description for this episode, and you can also find it on our social media accounts. So, Nico, shall we just get straight into it and talk about this film?
Yeah, because there's a lot to talk about.
Let's do it. Let's not waste any time. So today we're talking about American Psycho.
New card. What do you think?
Whoa. Very nice.
Patrick, you're so sweet.
Jean?
Yes, Patrick?
Would you like to accompany me to dinner?
Sabrina, why don't you dance a little? Christy, get down on your knees. We're not through yet.
That's a wonderful suit. You look so soft.
I don't think I can control myself. If you stay, something bad will happen. I feel lethal, on the verge of frenzy. I think my mask of sanity is about to slip. Do you have any witnesses or fingerprints?
Actually, yes.
I know my behavior can be erratic sometimes.
Hey, Paul!
So, what do you do?
I'm into, murders and executions mostly. I have all the characteristics of a human being, but not a single clear, identifiable emotion. I simply am not there.
I just had to kill a lot of people!
This movie was released in 2000, was directed by Mary Harron, and stars Christian Bale, Justin Theroux, and Chloe Savini. I can never say her name properly. I'm so terrible with names. The IMDb plot is as follows. A wealthy New York City investment banking executive, Patrick Bateman, hides his alternate psychopathic ego from his co-workers and friends as he delves deeper into his violent hedonistic fantasies. Taglines for this movie: no introductions necessary.
Why? Oh yeah, because it's like the biggest book in fucking God knows how long, is it?
Yeah. Killer looks.
See, killer soundtrack would have been better.
Well, the next one is Killer Inside.
See, whoever does this is shit.
And finally, I think my mask of sanity is about to slip.
Do you think?
Killer soundtrack. Let's just, you know what, we'll talk about that first, right? Because this has got to have, like, the best fucking soundtrack of any movie of all time.
Well, yeah, it's good, like, well, they paid enough for it. Fucking hell.
They did. You're a DJ, so come on, rate the soundtrack.
Rate the soundtrack. On this one, just because it is totally 80s nostalgia, it's got Phil Collins, Studio, Invisible Touch, all of these things, for 80s, is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It works well. We worked at Trop, so you know it works well in 80s bars.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm looking at the soundtrack here on IMDb, and you just look at some of the names on there. You've got David Bowie's on there, like you've already mentioned, Phil Collins.
His whole scene based around Huey Lewis and the Power.
Huey Lewis, you've got Chris DeBar, you've got Robert Palmer. So, like, yeah, this is fucking just nostalgia central, isn't it?
Who's it that turned it down again? I can't remember.
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston. Oh, yeah, he talks about it, but you don't hear it.
Yeah, well, have you read the book?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so this is one of those few occasions when we're doing a movie where I actually have read the book.
Oh, and I haven't. This is weird.
And I can tell you, the book is a really, really difficult read.
It's meant to be more brutal, is it?
Oh, it is significantly more brutal. It goes into so much, that it's so descriptive of the scenes where he's murdering people. And it really, like, really, really fucking fucked up shit. I can lend you my copy. but yeah, it's sort of some really fucked up shit in the book, but it's just a really difficult read because you can tell, like, obviously in the movie, you know, when he's going through things like his morning skincare routine and when he's talking about albums and things like that, it gets very descriptive. But that's exactly how it is in the book. Like, there are whole chapters that are dedicated to, like, the Whitney Houston album.
Okay.
It's just a chapter on the Whitney, like, on Whitney Houston, and then there's just a chapter on, like, Phil Collins, and it's just a really difficult read because it doesn't. I personally, there'll be people out there who obviously disagree, but for me, it just doesn't flow. Like, it really doesn't flow. It's tricky. It's a tricky read, but it's definitely I think something that people who are not of a weak stomach need to read because there is some really fucked up shit in there. You know, he goes much more into sort of like cannibalism as well in the book. And obviously,
when he's biting them and stuff.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of bits of it here, but it goes full on cannibal in the book. And obviously, there's certain things in terms of like the sex scenes and how he's murdering people that, especially in 2000, like you just couldn't show. And obviously, in the book, it goes on, it's very, very descriptive. So yeah, I do recommend reading the book. It's not my personal favourite, but I do recommend checking it out. But of the two, I definitely prefer the movie to the book. When was the first time you saw this?
Cinema.
I said when.
When was that again? I think it was like 2000.
2000, so was it just as it was coming out?
Yeah, well, I used to go watch all the movies when they came out, because I used to have a cinema card.
Yeah, so what were your initial thoughts, like, when you first saw it?
See, this is the total opposite of Scream, by the way. Scream had a brilliant trailer and everything. This had a shit trailer.
Yeah.
Like, this had a really crap trailer, and it was basically just saying, oh, if you love the book, you'll love this movie, was pretty much what the trailers were emphasising over and over again.
And I
hadn't read the book, so yeah, I was like, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, and as I've obviously just sort of described to you, liking the book or not liking the book is not linked to whether or not you'll like the movie.
Yeah, but I just mean that's the way they were billing it, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that's what I'm saying, though, but, like, you're obviously, like, that's how they were billing it. That's incorrect, you know? Because even though a lot of the dialogue from the book is just transferred into the movie,
yeah,
but it's a totally different entity.
Aye. Well, that's what they were billing at us. So I was like, okay, I haven't read the book. We'll see what it's like. And I was actually on a first date going to see this movie.
Oh, What I think that isn't that like the eighth episode where you've been on a first date.
I like first dates in cinema. It used to be my go-to.
And how was this as a first date movie?
This was a surprise one as well. This was like a blind date one.
And, that's even worse.
Yeah. The plan was meet up, watch this movie, and go straight clubbing afterwards.
Go down to Poundstown.
Yeah. And on the way out, I saw my ex who I just broke up with. So it was a great night.
Great night, yeah. And how did your blind date react to American Psycho?
She fucking loved it because she'd read the book. She was telling me all bits like in it and stuff. And it was quite weird. Because I'm like, shut the fuck up, try to watch the movie. And, she fucking loved it. She was like, this is amazing. Like, she wanted to go on a second date. I didn't. the fact she's ruining a movie, you know what I mean? Fucking, if you're going to be like that now, you're fucking halfway down the line, no danger, right? But anyway, back to the fucking movie in hand. So I'm going to see this movie and I'm like, alright, like fucking killers and stuff. Since there's a book, I'm guaranteeing it'll be based on some sort of serial killer or something. So fucking, I'm trying to relate it to one of the ones that I've read up on because I used to like all the serial killer stuff and just fucking blew my mind this movie. Like, just it's other level. It's fucking mental. That
it's absolutely batshit insane. Right. So we were obviously talking about the various sort of schools of thought around this movie. I want to start right at the very end. Right.
Why all of the theories come up at the end, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of them are linked to that.
So, how much of this movie do you think is in Patrick Bateman's head?
I'm on the my theory one that I like is Patrick's the one that's killed at the start.
At the start?
Yeah.
When?
So, there's a theory that Patrick's killed and it's a homeless guy, it's insane, that's taken him over.
Oh, the homeless guy. Okay, no, I just wasn't sure at what point of the film you were referring to.
Yeah, so that's one theory that I like. Okay. That was the one that I was like, that sounds like it's fucking good, because you know how he's saying him all, what was it, insider trading or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's actually a fucking stock guy, so he's killed him and taken him over. So
what
that's
if? Where... What if? Like, crossover movie, they're just in the Matrix.
Yeah. See, if they're in the Matrix, I'd be killing Abdi. It'd be great fun.
Because, Keanu Reeves could just show up.
So the four theories, basically the four theories that I've heard of, and okay, tell me if there's any more, is the homeless guy takes him over at the start.
I've never heard of that one.
Okay. So there's that one. There's the Patrick's the other guy, Jay Leto. Jared Leto.
Jay Leno?
I know, Jay Leto.
A very different film.
Yeah, fucking... Jared Leto's character. They've swapped places.
Okay.
Because you know how they constantly keep getting mixed up?
Mm-hmm.
The other one is it's all in his head, and the other one is he's got away with it.
So, I think it's really difficult in this film to actually pinpoint, because I think there are various different aspects of the film that leads to different strands, and I think that's a deliberate thing.
Yeah.
So, if you take the very, very end of the film, where he's confessing to his lawyer, and as you said, throughout the film, they keep getting mistaken, which is obviously a social commentary as well about how, guys in suits and, they try so hard, but they really all just sort of blend into one, don't they? Because, if you were to line up, there's so many times, I don't know if you're like this as well, but, when Patrick's going for lunch with the guys, I don't know which guys these are.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we are told their names multiple times.
Several times, yeah.
So, I think that's a bit of a social commentary there as well. But, so that ending where he's because his lawyer mistakes him for someone else as well. And...
Yeah, but that's the thing behind it. Is a lawyer not mistaking him for the Leto's character?
He's not. Because Jared Leto plays Paul Allen, and he mistakes him for a character called Davis.
So
he mistakes him as someone completely different anyway, because he thinks he's pulling a practical joke on Patrick Bateman. So that leads me to think that he's just gotten away with it, right? Because he obviously says, oh, well, I just had lunch with Paul Allen 10 days ago. But if he's mistaking Patrick for someone else, he could very easily be mistaking Paul Allen for someone else.
Yeah.
However, you've then also got the scene where he goes back to Paul Allen's apartment and everything's been cleaned and someone's trying to sell the apartment.
Yeah, and the realtor is like, I never come back here. Like, she knows what happened.
Well, number one, she's like, she knows what happens. But alternately, who the fuck, like, number one, why would they cover for him?
Well, to get the property sold quicker.
Yeah, but why would they cover for...
It was money orientated with everything.
It's the middle of New York City. You're telling me that they couldn't just sell that apartment anyway for big bucks? Like, I don't think it would have made much of a difference. I think that scene leads more to it being in Patrick's head. I'm not saying that's the theory that I'm going with, but I can just see how that leads you down a different path.
Yeah, I get that.
But what was the second theory, that him and Paul had swapped places?
Yeah, so there's two swap ones. There's him and Paul swap places, so he's actually taking over Bateman's life. Paul's taking over Bateman's life. And then there's the one where it's the homeless guy's taking over Bateman's life.
So which one do you actually think it is?
I think it's the homeless guy. If you take the second movie off and just bin it.
Oh, we don't pay attention to American Psycho 2. That's a terrible film.
But see, you going about so bad it's good. That's one that I think is so bad it's good.
Oh!
Because it is like, it's got Shatner in it for a start. Come on.
He is kind of the king of it's so bad it's good.
Yeah. So that's one of the movies I would say is so bad it's good. You were always looking for an example. There's one for you.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
But forgetting about the second movie, just based on the movie that I watched, I thought that it was like talking to folk. They were talking about the whole, like, the homeless guy takes over, and I'm like, that's a theory that makes sense to me. But if you're watching the movie, it doesn't, because, well, not being racist here, it's a black guy he kills, so it couldn't really, you'd be able to tell the difference. The whole point is the white guys are blending in because they're money laundering scumbags. And they were 80s fucking, so that was the only thing that kiboshes that theory in the movie, if you're just thinking about the movie. Well, it's mainly folk that have read the book, I'm guessing, that are thinking it was him, because folk I've talked to about it makes more and more sense, sounding like what they were talking about in the book, that would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So for movie purposes, I would say he's changed with Paul.
Okay. See,
because that would make more sense, you know.
See, I think it's one of the latter two. I think it's either in his head or he's gotten away with it.
See, the reason I think it's because he swapped over, because if you look at all the bits, Willetto, he's basically doing all the stuff that the actual boyfriend would be doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's all that whole scene. He's the one that's like, you know. So it is slightly weird, like.
Oh yeah, listen. I don't think there's. It's absolutely no way, I think, in pinpointing exactly which one it is based on just this film alone. The book, if I remember correctly, actually somehow manages to leave it more ambiguous.
Oh, really?
Is it more? I can't remember actually now. I'm sure it leaves it like more ambiguous. Whereas here in the, I think I very much feel like it's leading you in all these different directions in the movie. But that ending with the lawyer kind of leads you to believe, oh well, it might have just. It almost forces you to make a decision, if that makes sense.
Aye.
Because there's loads of scenes, like, there's so many scenes as well, like, all this time in the film, and this is right throughout the film, where, you know, Patrick says something really horrendous to someone, and they either just don't take him on, or they misunderstand him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well...
Yeah, I think all that's in his head.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But then that plants the seed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to pick up as well, there's only like one scene in this movie that doesn't actually have Patrick Bateman in it. And it's the scene where Gene finds his like scrapbook.
Yeah.
So that also is makes it difficult for us as a viewer because we never get to see the other perspective. Because we are constantly looking at this through Patrick's eyes. If there was a few scenes where, you know, we're following Gene or we're following Kimball or we're following one of the others, then, you know, that would probably lead us to make a more firm decision. But because it's constantly through Patrick's eyes, we just never know.
But I think that's the point of it. So...
Yeah, oh, no, you're right. That's not a criticism I have of the film. That's just an observation.
Well, it's like the bit where he's in the dry cleaners, screaming about the dry cleaner. And it's like, oh, it's cranberry, just turns it over. There's no way that you would get away with basically putting that much blood in a dry cleaner in New York, you know what I mean? That's how most folk got caught bugs. Like that, you know?
They didn't have forensics, they just went to the dry cleaners.
Aye, they just went in and went, aye, where'd you... Is that the ticket? Aye, come and get your dry cleaning. Aye, your knob. Right, bye. In you go. That's how it was done, yeah.
But so, no, it's just... what do you make just of the lifestyle that these guys lead?
It is excess. Like all the drugs that they're taking as well, you're like, fucking hell. Basically all your ecstasies you get over here when it was the 90s, you know what I mean?
It's no wonder they were all completely fucking nuts.
Exactly.
The amount of drugs they've been taking.
It's no wonder they were fucking like rabbits, for fuck's sake. If you're taking that much ecstasy, you're 24/7 horny.
There's a lot of sex scenes in this film.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sex scenes in this film.
Like that date I was on, she's like, I just saw his dick. And I'm like, okay. Okay, what am I meant to say to that? Just fucking, you saw a dick, well done. Round of applause.
Whereas Nico was just sitting there going, boobies.
That wasn't actually. I was like, fucking, man, I haven't had too many ages. That's what I was thinking.
So could you see yourself living this, maybe like this excess lifestyle in the 80s? Is this you, suit and tie? I can't picture you as a suit and tie kind of guy.
I hate wear. Like, see, this is people I hate. Like, this suit and tie, fucking all. I hate that shit. I'm sorry. I'm the good old fashioned. Chuck on a pair of denim jeans, a leather jacket, t-shirt, going to town and get smashed. That's me. You know what I mean?
Well, you know me. Like, I don't mind getting like smartly dressed up, but I'm generally a jeans and t-shirt guy as well. Maybe like, the odd shirt.
Don't get me wrong, I get dressed up for special occasions when I've got to.
Yeah, Nico shows up to a wedding in a leather jacket and jeans and a denim shirt.
I fucking wish I did a few of them, but anyway. Fucking, I can get suited and booted, I can look my best, but it's on very rare occasions. So relating to somebody like that, I can't do that at all.
Yeah. So we're talking about the sort of the lifestyle that these guys lead. One of the sort of things that when I was sort of researching into this movie and I was looking at criticisms and things like that, one of the things that I got levelled at this movie quite a lot was how misogynistic it is, right?
Well, that was the time. The times were like that.
But this is what I'm saying. Because there's also a criticism of people who really like this film, I found quite often. And it was a case of, if you really like this film, you're just an incel, or you're a misogynist, and things like that. And it was like, but that's what... And I feel very much like that is just what the film is trying to portray. The film, like, he is supposed to be this misogynistic character, because he is completely detached from humanity, right?
Yeah.
As far as we're aware, he has no emotions. What is it he says, other than greed and something else? Horniness, by the looks of it. And, you know, it's also the social commentary on what these kind of guys, these Wall Street kind of guys, are like.
Aye.
You know, they're misogynistic, they're racist, they're homophobic, they're drug takers, they hire prostitutes. Like, this is what... I'm not tarring everyone with the same brush, but this is what these guys are sort of viewed to be like.
Aye. Like, that. Basically, they play hard, they party hard, is what they used to always say they ate. But the thing about it is, it was basically just the misogynistic cunts were fucking like, well, your place is in a kitchen, and I can go do what the fuck I want to do, because all you're there for is basically cook me food when I'm there or fucking look after the kids. That's your job. That's it. Done, dusted. Yeah. Most of these is because they're that loaded, they don't even look after the kids, or that they just go out and have fun, you know.
Yeah, and like we see this off, like, we see kind of that, like we see that through Patrick's treatment of Jean, you know. Yeah. Like every time she comes in, he criticizes what she's wearing and tells her to dress up nicer and wear this and do this and do that.
Wear heels, yeah,
wear heels, you know, and things like that. And as a movie, I think the movie actually portrays that side of sort of. The professional man, if you will. And I think it portrays it pretty fucking well.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. If they're making that much money, well, look at Trump. Like, just... Trump would fit in with this party quite well, would he?
Well, obviously he mentions Donald Trump at one night. In the book, he mentions Donald Trump so many more times.
But he doesn't mention Trump in the movie. He mentions Ivanka.
No, he does mention Donald Trump, because at one point when they're in the car, well, he mentions Donald Trump's car when they're driving past. He's like, is that Donald Trump's car?
Yeah, but not Donald Trump himself.
No, but that's, I'm assuming that would mean that Donald Trump is in the car.
Well, it could be Ivanka.
Could be. It could be. But the point is, like...
Could be Trump Jr. or any of them. It could be any of them in that car.
In the book, the point is, in the book, like, they mention Trump and Ivanka and all of that, like way more. Because it's all about status, isn't it, as well? Like, and that's the whole thing about Dorcia, because Patrick can obviously never get a table at Dorcia, and it's a status thing, isn't it? Because he can... And you see that when he goes on his lunch with Paul Allen, he takes him to a restaurant that they really disapprove of.
Yeah, and it's like when he takes Courtney, when she's high as fuck, says it's Dorcia, and she's like, yeah, this is great, you know? And like his mate, the gay one's thanking him like fuck, saying, oh, thanks for taking her, can't believe you got, it's the like pinnacle of places to eat meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the status thing as well, no scene proves that in more than the business card scene.
Yeah, that just annoyed me, that business card scene. Like,
oh, why did it annoy you?
Because I was sitting there, like, the first time I watched it, I remember sitting there thinking, pretentious fucking pricks, they're all the same. You know what I mean? And it's just, but you know people who would be that dickish about it. It's like folk nowadays who are like, oh yeah, I've got to have this certain gin or this certain vodka, or I've got to have, they're not doing it for the taste, they're doing it because it's the popular one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the fucking, what all the TikTokers and all that, they... like all those sort of folk are doing, and I've never been one of them to fucking follow that shit, so I despise folk like this, is the easiest way of putting it.
Don't forget guys, to follow us on TikTok.
It's alright, we're not trendsetters, it's fine.
No, but it's also that thing as well, because Patrick obviously like shows off his business card and he thinks, yeah, this is me, I'm the dog's fucking bollocks. And then he just gets one-upped by like six different folk. I love it.
And the thing is, it's in his mind that they're better.
Yeah. Yeah, because you look at them, the differences between them are so slight.
Oh, do you want white? Do you want white? Or do you want white? Oh, do you want black ink on it? Or do you want black ink on it? Or do you want black ink on it?
Excuse me, Nico, but I think you'll find it's called bone.
Sorry, I wouldn't go for the bone. I would have went for the eggshell myself.
Listen, I've known you to go for bone a few times. Did you notice as well, like, on the cards, like, they're so interested in having... the best business card. Every single card has acquisition spelt incorrectly.
Yeah.
So like they it doesn't actually mean anything. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, what they actually do doesn't mean anything. They all like want to have these like high power, high paying jobs, but that doesn't actually mean anything to them. All they want is the status. But what I find interesting as well is there's one point where Evelyn's questioning Patrick on, if he doesn't like it, like, why does he work there? And he says he just wants to fit in. But he doesn't just want to fit in. He wants to be better than everyone else.
He wants to be the top guy, fitting in with the Donald Trump-like people.
But he doesn't want to do the work to get there.
Exactly. Well, one of the Trump did either, so.
No, but like one of the things that I always find quite interesting is because Evelyn at one point is like, oh, your dad pretty much owns the company. And that seemed like a very throwaway kind of line. Because it's very obvious that Patrick doesn't really have the respect of the people that he works with.
Yeah, like he's in the office listening to music, wanking to porn, pretty much.
Well, that's the thing, he does no work. Like, at no point do we see any of them doing work, but he does no work.
Because, like, when the copper goes in, when William Dafoe goes in, he's like, oh, you must be really busy. Because he's even got to make up a fake phone call to make himself look busy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then he doesn't even make it sound like he's about work. He's talking about, like, tipping like, barbers.
It's like, oh, no, you don't tip the owner, you tip the guy that does your hair.
Which is good advice, guys. Don't forget to tip your barbers and bartenders.
I would recommend bartenders. Barbers, sometimes not. You get home, you don't like it, you're like, I should have tipped that.
But definitely tip your bartenders, because we're a hard-working bunch.
I think you should tip your DJs.
Cause, I think you should tip your DJs too, yeah.
Yeah, like, your DJs are, like, they're the life and soul of the party, but they don't get as much respect as they used to back in the 80s.
DJs are for life, not just for Christmas.
Fucking hell.
Right, let's talk about some of these murders. So,
but hold on.
Oh, which
the theory that you like, that you think it is, do you think he got away with it, or do you think it's all in his head?
I think there are certain aspects, and some of the murders are in his head, but I think he has definitely killed people and has gotten away with it.
So you think it's a cross between two?
Yeah.
Because I was talking to somebody else, and this was just a guy at work, Ben, this is about 5 years ago or something. And when we were talking about this movie, he said, I think he's killed the homeless folk in the hookers, and every other kill is in his head.
Yeah, so I don't think he's actually... I don't think he's killed Paul Allen. I think he killed the homeless man.
Right.
I think he killed... Well, you see, cause the thing is that bugs me as well about the scene with Christy when he's chasing her through the building naked with a chainsaw. I like that he kept on his trainers, by the way.
See, I don't think that one is an actual kill, because I'm not being a dick. You wouldn't get away with running down a hall.
Well, this is what I'm saying, because she's like screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
And banging on all the doors, and you're telling me that not one person heard or saw that.
There's not one cunt that's a nosy neighbour, I don't think.
Because
so.
I don't know about you, Nico, but I'm a nosy fucking neighbour.
Aye.
If that was happening, I'd be straight out on the peephole and being like, ooh, getting all the juicy gossip.
Like, fucking, yeah. Like, put it this way, I've stayed in a flat where I heard one of the neighbours going, he's killing me, and the coppers turning up and it was like, fucking, I was like, I definitely paid attention to what was happening here. Like, it was all bullshit. She was pissed and high, but it was still very entertaining. So put it that way.
So I'm not sure how legitimate those kills are.
Yeah.
Also,
but at least the cat survives.
The cat survives. Well, also this is the scene we need to talk about again. Then is this scene where he's having like. The full-on meltdown, he's having the shootout with the police.
Yeah, that's definitely in his head.
Well, I think so, because, you know, number one, he shoots the car with, like, 3 bullets and it explodes.
And I love that moment like where he... It's fucking, yeah.
I love that moment where he just looks at the gun as if to say, what the fuck?
Yeah, didn't know this was a bazooka, that's fucking cool.
But you'll notice, like, as soon as it does that, like, he just stops getting chased.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure if you blew up 2 police cars and kill 4 coppers, you're getting hit more than 2 police cars and 4 coppers chasing you.
It's not that, like, they would have called it in, like, they would have given them the description, so, like, they would know that that's, it's the 80s, was there such a thing, I don't know, when did CCTV become a thing?
Yeah, there was CCTV in the later 80s, but when was Reagan president again?
Cause that's I think this is set in 87?
87.
So also, I'm assuming it would just be much lower quality as well, so...
Oh, yeah, definitely lower quality.
So who knows? But,
It's like the quality you get in the corner shops nowadays is what you had back then.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think the scene is one of the things like we'll come on to as well. There's some really funny moments in this film.
Yeah.
Like, and in this scene, it's got one of them where he's going through the revolving door, but comes back in. Just to shoot the janitor and then fucks off again.
I'm so annoyed that I didn't get to say that one because that is my favourite scene. like I was going to ask you just after this conversation, I was going to ask you what was your favourite scene, and that was my one because genuinely, it's just the way he comes through. And he's just like, oh, I better kill him. He just carries on guard and bam, bam, and then runs it again. It's fucking brilliant.
It's so funny. It's the funniest scene of the film.
Yeah.
I think that's in his head. Obviously, you know, as well, you've got the ATM giving him weird messages about killing cats.
Yeah, feed me the cat.
That's obviously in his head as well.
Well, that's the thing. You hear the cat meow and then it says it.
Yeah. So
it's definitely in his head.
So I do think it's a mix of the two. I do think he's committed murders. And it's obviously... He goes on this giant rant as well when down the phone, so we're obviously led to believe that he's done other things like that we haven't seen. So I do think he's done some shit, but I think some of the things that we get shown are in his head.
See, I would say, if you're just going by those two theories, I would say it's probably in his head. Because I get the whole, like, he might have done some of them, but I think he's just like fucked up in the head with all the drugs he's doing.
Yeah.
Because what is the thing he's always taking out of the? Because it says his name on it, but you never get to see what he's actually taking out of the fucking wee.
But I think that again, I think is on purpose as well, because it's a comment on this whole sort of over reliance on drugs that seemed there was a bit of a boom of that, wasn't there, where people were so reliant on just medication and doctors were just constantly giving out medication. We became like this medicated society.
Well, there was the famous thing in the 80s where it was like folk were basically getting Molly to keep them up and lithium to take them down. It was fucking with their heads and they would end up in an asylum. And that was like rich folk that were doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sounds like a good weekend to me.
Sounds like you'd be fucked up in the head ever since, especially if you throw LSD into that one, and I guarantee they were taking that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there was nothing these fuckers weren't taking. I do like that scene as well where they're in the toilets of the club and he's just like, keep it down, I'm trying to do drugs here.
It's like the first bit when they're sitting down in the first one and he's like, they've got no decent toilets to do coke in. I'm like, get a key, you lazy bastard. Just fucking, you know what I mean?
Listen, we'll do it off the floor. Don't do drugs, kids.
No, but drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad. We do not. We at the Podcast of the Damned do not condone the use of drugs.
Obviously, I've never taken anything in my life. I don't even drink alcohol.
No, I am actually a straight edge.
Are you? Well, I'm actually a God-fearing Christian.
Are you? Oh, we can't do this podcast together anymore.
I'm not taking too far.
We promote atheism here on this podcast.
All my friends are heathens to the bone. Anyway.
So, I want to talk about a few other things as well. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about some of the messages, and we can come back to that if you've got anything else in terms of the messages.
What's your favourite kill?
I think just because of how fucking... No, you know what? It's the Paul Allen kill, because Christian Bale is fucking hilarious during that entire thing.
See, I like that one, but still to me it is the fucking revolving door, because it makes me...
The revolving door is the funniest bit of the film, but I think as an entire scene, the Paul Allen kill is the best kill. Like, when he does the moonwalk back into the room...
Yeah.
That's so fucking funny, which was improvised, by the way. He wasn't told to do that. And as you know, that scene has my favourite horror gif. I think my favourite gif of all time, Christian Bale doing that fucking dance.
All the time, yeah.
And he's just... He's so, this is the thing, like, he's so manic, but yeah. He's just, like, word for word, just relaying what I'm assuming is just, like, a news article or a magazine article he's read about Huey Lewis in the news.
Nah. Or it's his own opinion in his own head.
Yeah.
It could be that as well, because he's like, I don't think they came into their own until the fourth album. And you're like, fuck right off, you know?
This is one thing that's going about back about status as well, because obviously we haven't really talked much a bit about Willem Dafoe's character, Detective Kimball, because there's that scene where he's like, oh, I've just went and bought the new Huey Lewis in the News album, and Patrick's like, oh no, it's too black sounding for me.
Yeah.
So it's a status thing as well, isn't it? Because he obviously views Kimball as being lower than.
Yep.
By the way, and I know they filmed it, they specifically told Willem Dafoe to film each scene in three different ways. One, like, he knew Patrick was the killer, one that he didn't know, and one that he was just, like, confused. And I think they've just used a mixture of all three at various points.
Yeah, I was going to say this, because I was going to ask you that as well. I was like, do you think they've done that in there deliberately?
I think so, because there's a couple of times where it very much seems like he knows that Patrick's the killer.
Like when they're at the, is it lunch they're out to or something? I can't remember that, but he seems like he knows.
Yeah. But then there's other times where he's just like, he seems a bit like a bumbling fucking idiot, to be honest.
Like in the office, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was purposefully put in there, just to sort of confuse us and lead us down different paths as well.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that I do want to talk about, though, is the casting of this film. And this might encroach a little bit on our trivia section when we get to it later, but this has an all-star fucking cast.
Yeah.
Like, you were talking earlier about how, and you're right, most of the money of budget did go on the
Jay Leno.
Jay Leno. It went on the soundtrack, which is the word I was looking for there. But if you look at the actual cast, you know, obviously Christian Bale, but Christian Bale wasn't a huge deal at the time. But you know, you've got Justin Theroux, you've got Reese Witherspoon, you've got Chloe Savini, you've got Willem Dafoe, there's Jared Leto. There's, you know, just a whole host of big names in this film.
Like Josh Brolin's in it as well, and he's fucking one of my favourite actors.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff he's been in is really good at.
And obviously, being the main character, Christian Bale fucking kills this, let's just be real.
Oh, yeah.
But I think everyone does a fucking good job.
Like, there normally you could pick one person that's a shit actor in this. And the thing is, the only one I can think you would class as a shit actor is the gay friend, but I think he's playing it like that deliberately, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Matt Ross is the name of the actor who plays Lewis.
Lewis, that's the one I couldn't remember his name.
Who's been in a few things as well. Like, he was in Face Off.
No, I'm not saying he's a shit actor, but I'm saying that comes across as the worst performance, but I think he's deliberately doing that, mm-hmm. overacting it, because he's doing flamboyant gay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was also hidden American
flamboyant
Horror,
gay.
So, anyways, it's... I've completely just lost my train of thought. We're talking about the casting of this film. I think as a cast, like, they all do a fucking great job. And I think the thing is with the movie like this, and them obviously trying to make sort of social commentary and things like that, I think they all had to be like fucking on it.
Yeah.
Because I think if there's a couple of scenes in here where it's like, oh, and that's one of the things why I like this movie. I don't think there's a wasted scene.
No.
I don't think there's a scene in here that doesn't give us just like a little bit more insight into Patrick or, you know, the mentality of the people around him at the time. You know, I think every scene in this film is important to the overall.
Aye, because as you're watching it, you feel like you're unraveling with him, if that makes sense. You're watching it and you're like the bartender thing at the start, you're like, well, that guy's a cunt. And by the end of it, you're like, fucking... Yeah, there's a few of them I wouldn't mind killing.
Who would you like to kill, Nico?
Many people, to be honest. How about you?
Me? No, I'm a God-fearing Christian.
God damn you.
Well, let's go back to the sort of whole themes of this film, because there's a scene that I want to talk about, because obviously you're talking about Lewis, who is engaged to one of the women. Courtney, that's the one.
Courtney's the one he uses and abuses.
Yeah, Courtney's Patrick's side piece. Evelyn Williams is a drugged up junkie
that he's using.
Yeah, because obviously Evelyn, Reese Witherspoon, is his main squeeze, and Courtney is his side piece, but Courtney is engaged to Lewis. But as we find out, Lewis is a homosexual. Because Patrick, that we obviously find out during that scene where Patrick goes into the toilets to strangle him, and Lewis kisses him on the hand, and actually encourages him to strangle him. I was like, oh, you kinky bugger.
He's like, but why here, Patrick?
Well, they're not going to do it in the ladies, are they?
Well.
So yeah, like, there's that whole scene, and just just the mere suggestion that he might be a homosexual just disgusts Patrick. So much so that he's washing his hands with his gloves on.
Yeah. I thought was a nice touch, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And it just goes to show, like, for me, it just adds to the whole sort of confusion, because he says that he just wants to fit in, but we know that he doesn't just want to fit in. He wants to fit in terms of the way that he wants to be invisible because he's committing murders.
Yeah.
But he wants to be the top of society. But here's something, and it may be true, like, maybe Patrick Bateman is a closeted homosexual, maybe he's bisexual, you know, something like that. But just the mere suggestion that it makes him different, and of course, there was, like, the views on homosexuality, especially, like, back in the 80s, you know, we're talking 40 years ago, was very different to now.
Fucking, well, I was 18 in 1999, and there was still, as they called it back then, fag bashing happening.
Yeah, so there you go. So, like, it's just horrendous. Like, so, you know, that would have made him a social pariah, essentially. Which is why, obviously, that Lewis, even though he knows that he's gay, is hiding it and is still engaged to Courtney.
Yeah, he's got a beard. He's got somebody to hide it for him.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's just...
she knows. That's why she's shagging Patrick. That's why she's probably putting off her tits all the
time. Well, we can very much see that she's depressed as fuck.
Yeah.
She's, like, really suffering with some mental health stuff going on. Because there's that whole scene, like, there is an illusion that she's about to commit suicide, right?
Yeah.
Like, when that whole scene where she's like, oh, if I don't see you by Easter, like, if I don't hear from you, like, have a good Easter. And I read that as, yeah, she's about to top herself.
Aye.
Okay, good, that wasn't just me. I like how Patrick's just like...
Well.
I like how Patrick's just like, you have a good Easter too. That made me laugh.
But that's the thing, you don't see her, so you don't know if he's killed her, if she's talked herself.
Yeah. But there's a whole host of shit like that. There's that scene where he picks up the model, and we don't see the aftermath of what happens. All we see is him just like, with a lock of hair in his office. Did he kill her? Because even when he's on the phone, confessing everything to his lawyer, he's still just sitting there being like, I may or may not have killed a model.
Aye.
So, we know that not everyone who comes into, like, his place gets killed. Because the two prostitutes initially get away.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't kill...
You notice how when they show, like, really, like, that they're broken is when he lets them go.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does with Gene.
Well, I was just about to come to that. Why do you think he spared Gene?
Because he realised how fucked up and how broken she was, and he feels sorry for them, and that's why he let her go.
I think he let her go because the thing is with Patrick, everything around him is so corrupt. And Jean is not. She's like the one thing that's in his life that's almost like pure and innocent.
See, I don't think it's that. I think he's like, there's something wrong with her, so therefore... See, I think he wants to fit in, but at the same time, he wants to kill the people he's trying to fit in with.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's if there's a vulnerability and they're not the same. Because, okay. What's his name again? The gay guy, I've forgotten it again.
Louis.
He doesn't kill him. Louis. He doesn't kill him. But if he was a true fucking psychopath that way, that would probably be one of his main targets for the whole, you know, because he's just a way to kill him. And then as soon as he does that whole vulnerability, proving that he's gay, he stops.
Okay, it's just interesting how we get different things from that. Because I very much read him not killing Gene as him trying to hold on to some level of sort of sanity. Because everything around him is just so fucking batshit crazy. Everyone's off their tits on drugs. Everyone's corrupt. Everyone's really horrendous people. But here's Jean, this really nice, sweet girl who is, you know, shy and innocent. And I think that's him. He knows that if he kills Jean, then that's it. There is no going back. Because there's no one else in his life that can make him feel like that. Evelyn's just as bad as the rest of them. Courtney's off her face all the time. She's depressed. She's committing, so everyone around him is just crazy. And actually the people around him don't like him. I mean, we know that because obviously we've had it said several times, you know, about what people actually think of Patrick. And they say it to Patrick thinking that he's someone else.
But Gene, I think Gene,
I think Gene likes him.
But this is the other thing that makes me think it's in his head if it's just those two versions. Because they keep going on about how weak he is, how much of a pussy he is, or that pussy Patrick, or that fucking dickhead Patrick. No wonder you're playing this joke on Patrick, because, he could never do this shit, he's so fucking pathetic. That's the thing that's weird about that.
But I almost get where they're coming from, because they obviously don't know that he's a murderer. And let's be real, put yourself as another member of that group, right? What about Patrick suggests to you that this is some strong, fucking great guy? Like, he's just someone who follows what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
So they're right in saying that. All those things they describe him as, well, maybe not some of them, because some of them are incredibly derogatory, but in general, they're right in how they describe him. So it's interesting. This is what I'm saying. Like this is a bit of a mindfuck of a film, because it can lead you in so many different paths in terms of what's going through characters' minds and, you know, what the messages are behind the actual sort of scenes as well, because that can be difficult to read too. What else? Is there anything else that we haven't touched upon yet? We've kind of been a bit all over the place. And I've lost my list of things to go through.
There's nothing off the top of my head, but it's just that, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I just got two cats just running over my chest randomly. If it was a center. The whole mix-up thing with him getting mixed up with other folk constantly, and the whole their table, they could get mixed up for each other, and all that stuff, and when they're going about the suits and everything. You just think to yourself, it seems very uniformed. It seems very like him trying to fit in with the uniform and everything, but still be outside it. So I'm tending to lean, if it's in his head or if it's not in his head and he's got away with it, I'm tending to lean towards the it's in his head part now.
Okay. You've sort of talked yourself into that, haven't you?
Yeah, it feels that way, but I do still like the homeless guy took him over thing. You know, it was some schizophrenic homeless guy just took over this guy's life.
For me, that's just too like fantastical a theory to be legitimate, in my opinion anyway. Of course, these are all entitled. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions. But for me, I'm still on that balance between he's definitely killed people and has done some horrible shit, but I don't think everything that we've seen is real.
Well, because that would explain why... The reason that I was leaning towards that is because that would explain how he says how much folk he's killed. And you've always seen those little amount of murders in that short space of time. Because he's obviously killed folk, taken over their lives sort of thing. It's just somebody that's been doing this over and over again.
Okay.
Which is a nice little theory, I thought.
I can see how it all sort of plays out. So, Nico, one thing I want to know is, right, What's your morning skincare routine?
I get up, I wash my face, that's it.
Do you not wash it with a exfoliating gel?
Oh, ah, that fucking night. Now, remember I said I lived with another DJ called Willie?
Yes.
Right, so, you know me, I've got long hair. The viewers, I've got long hair, and at the time when I stayed there, I had it right down my butt, probably to about my hip. Very long hair. And Willie was bald. So whenever there was girls around, they're like, oh, I used your shampoo. And I'd laugh, and they'd be like, why? Why are you laughing? Because most of the people that came back knew me, knew him.
Mm-hmm.
He had, like, there was a shelf there. He had half of the shelf all stocked up with all different types of hair products, beauty products, fucking stuff for your face, you name it, all that sort of shit from American Psycho. And on the other side, I had a bottle of Head and Shoulders and fucking whatever gel it was that I got for a pound at the shop next to it. That was my shit, you know what I mean?
So
I always used to find it funny. So I was like, fucking seeing this, I'm thinking to myself, that's his fucking routine.
Wow. This, I'm going to give a lot, because I don't really have a massive skincare routine either, but this is just a little PSA for everyone out there, right? Don't do this fucking skincare routine. It'd be fucking horrendous for your skin.
Would it?
Really? I've heard from multiple sources that this is actually a terrible skincare routine.
But is this not the one that they always used to recommend in all the, like, 80s stuff?
Oh, yeah, like this, but I mean, this is like, you see it all the time. You still see adverts about, you know, use this cream on your face and you'll become 20 years younger, and use this and use that, and every day use the... No, like, apparently, this skincare routine is really bad for your skin. It literally will just clog up all your pores.
It's coming up for December, so the Oil of Ule adverts will be coming on soon.
I saw the Coca-Cola advert yesterday.
Did you?
I saw the Coca-Cola advert yesterday for the first time this year.
Is that a new one?
No.
No.
It's the same one they've been using for the last 30 years.
Hey, what was it? Like, fucking, I think it was last weekend, there was a guy driving down Union Street blaring Christmas music out of his motor.
Have you been Whamageddon yet?
Not yet, but it was Mariah Carey he was listening to, and I just thought to myself, the thing is,
I've just realized, sorry to interrupt, right? But I've just realized I could Whamageddon our entire listener base right now.
The thing is, it would make a change from me doing it to myself.
Yeah, I'm still going to do it. I'll Whamageddon myself in the process. Plot twist, I'll actually play the song 30 seconds before I say this little bit.
No, you should play it. Like, you should play it at the very start, like you've mixed it up, and then...
Oh, instead of our theme song?
Yeah, so instead of the theme song, it's just Wham.
Or, at some point between now and Christmas, I'll just slip it into an episode.
What are you like?
I'll slip it into every episode, just to properly make sure we capture as... I'll put it... It'd just be the promo clip. Anyways, you were saying?
I forgot what I was saying now.
Oh, good. We're talking about skincare routines.
Oh, fucking, can't mind them.
No, it's gone. Okay.
Gone. Because we got out of the Oil of Ule advert, and that was it. I was done. So skincare regimes. So, yeah, it was girls would come back to the flat and think, I used to have a fucking regime like this because, well, I've got the long hair and fucking... At that time, I had the contact lenses in, and they were always like, oh, your skin's nice and your eyebrows are perfectly done and all this fucking shit. Never plucked my eyebrows, never done any skincare regime. I said I use Head and Shoulders for my fucking hair. Like my gel just now that I'm using is a fucking, what's it called?
Lynx Africa.
No, it's like a... It's the drumstick one, but I can't remember. Is it Carex that do it?
Oh, yeah, we've got that one as well.
Yeah. Smells really nice.
It is actually quite good. Anyways, is there anything else about American Psycho that you want to touch on before we move on?
Not really, apart from the follow-up. Like, if you take the follow-up as canon, then he was getting away with it. There's the theory.
yeah, it kind of makes a definitive thing. How long after this one did the second one come out?
I've no idea, but the second one starts off basically with him killing off Gene as well.
Oh, it's fucking horrendous.
It was at least a couple of years later.
It was 2002, so it was 2 years later. Wow.
What?
It's got 3.8 on IMDb.
That's more than I thought we'd have.
It's, I didn't realise this, it's directed by Morgan Freeman.
Really?
Not the Morgan Freeman.
Oh.
It does have Mila Kunis in it, and she's worth the 3.8 anyway.
She's a turn on in that movie, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't mind getting killed by her, that's for sure.
Oh, I just read a bit of trivia about American Psycho. Let's do some trivia for American Psycho. In an interview with MTV News, Mila Kunis stated that she was horrified by the fact she made this film and was happy it went straight to video. The filming title was The Girl Who Wouldn't Die.
Aye, because, that's the thing I love about it. She's, the only victim that gets away from Patrick.
Bret Easton Ellis, the author of American Psycho, publicly denounced the film and stated it is absolutely not canon to any of his characters. They did not like this film.
No.
Anyways, let's move on, shall we?
But did you notice one other thing about the second one? Did you notice that Patrick's brother is in American Psycho 2?
Patrick's brother?
Yeah. Because it's his younger brother is the guy in it.
All right, okay. I didn't know that. It has been a while since I've watched American Psycho 2. It's not a film I'm in a hurry to go back to. I'm not gonna lie.
No, it's is it the one that gets choked out? I think it is with the condom. I can't remember. it's that's how bad that is. Somebody gets killed with a condom. Are you stifling laughter there?
I am so stifling laughter.
What are you like?
Oh, American Psycho 2 actually had a bigger budget than American Psycho.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah.
Fuck off. How much different?
3 million.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Did it make any money?
No. It was straight to video. So let's move on. Let's move on, okay. And let's talk about some trivia.
I'm sure if we bashed your head in, all sorts of secrets would come tumbling out.
It would help if I had the trivia in front of me. This movie had a budget of $7 million and grossed worldwide at the box office $34.2 million. So it was a good success. I do actually have quite a lot of trivia about... about this movie. Some of it is a bit more detailed, some of it's just little fun facts, like Reese Witherspoon was 3 months pregnant while they were filming this.
No, I never knew that.
The director, Mary Herron, was also pregnant while they were filming this.
This is one of those prego movies, you've got to find out Gene was pregnant after it.
That's the only two I know of.
he was pregnant during it, you know.
As we've already talked about, Whitney Houston refused to allow any of her songs to be used in the movie. Despite the fact, in the novel, there is a whole chapter devoted to one of Whitney Houston's albums. And he does talk about Whitney Houston in the movie. I love the fact that Elizabeth makes fun of him for owning more than one Whitney Houston CD. I've told you already that Christian Bale's moonwalk, when he entered the room with the axe, was completely improvised. What else have I already gone over? I think that's all the ones that I've already gone over. Oh, the skin. So I went on about how bad the skincare routine is. Christian Bale actually followed the skincare routine whilst they were filming as well.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, we all know that Christian Bale's pretty method, right?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if he managed 1,000 push ups or something he said.
Was it crunches?
1,000 crunches.
We haven't even talked about things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre being on in the background while he's doing exercises. Just watching porn movies while he's on the phone to people,
I know, that's quite weird,
I don't think it was on silent either.
No, it wasn't. And it's when he's trying to make reservations to you can guess where.
That's right.
Yeah. So and when he's looking at the porn mags when the detective comes out, I already mentioned that as well because he does fuck all work.
Yeah, yeah. So Christian Bale spoke in an American accent at all times while he was on the set, even when they were not filming. Didn't speak his name because obviously Christian Bale's Welsh, and didn't actually.
Is he? I knew that.
Yeah, he's Welsh. Didn't speak his native Welsh accent until the rap party, but because his American accent, and I think his American accent was pretty good.
Yeah.
The other members of the cast and crew thought that his Welsh accent was him putting on an accent for a new role.
Oh, I love that.
Bale has stated that he based his performance of Patrick Bateman on an interview he saw of Tom Cruise on David Letterman. He described Cruise as having this intense friendliness with nothing behind the eyes.
So he based American Psycho on Tom Cruise. Oh, how funny would it be if Tom Cruise took the role on instead of him?
I mean, Tom Cruise would probably do it because he's a massive egomaniac.
Yeah.
I've already said that the biggest cost of budget for this went to purchasing the rights to the various songs featured in the movie. The movie also had several problems with the designer labels during filming, just due to the nature of the film. So Cerruti allowed Bale to wear their clothes, but not while he was killing anyone.
Right.
Rolex allowed everyone in the film to wear their watches apart from Christian Bale. Because there's a scene in the book where, you know how the scene in the film, after he's slept with the prostitutes, where he's like, oh, don't touch the watch.
Yeah.
In the book, that's don't touch the Rolex.
Oh, okay.
So they had to change it. Calvin Klein, they pulled their product from the movie altogether as well. They just didn't want any part of it. If I was one of these like labels, right, I would totally lean into something like this. I'd be like, yeah, fucking use our shit on everything.
Your adverts the following season would be fucking folk looking like Christian Bale.
Exactly, exactly. Bale was actually warned by family, friends, and other actors that taking on this role would be career suicide.
Really?
And of course, Christian Bale made him want to take the role even more, and of course it turned out to be the breakthrough role for him in his career.
There's no surprise there, though, was it?
Yeah.
If the book was as big as what they were always going on about, then yeah.
So during the chainsaw scene, in between takes, Christian Bale would just hang out with nothing but a sock on his penis.
Say that again?
You heard.
You would just hang out, just...
You would just rock hang out. With his cock out. I did do air quotes, but obviously you can't see me.
He would just rock out with his cock out.
He would literally rock out with his cock out.
Did he do a Californication? You know, fucking...
You actually just windmilled in between every scene.
To be honest, that's a quality way of doing it. That.
So, there was a lot of backstage, like off-camera drama around this film with the producers and the studio and things like that. So initially, the producers tried to talk the director, Mary Harron, into casting Ed Norton to being the lead role instead of Christian Bale, right?
That would be good.
It would be good. But she refused. She wanted Christian Bale. And they allowed her to cast him as long as they cast two other big names in supporting roles, right? And so Reese Witherspoon and Willem Dafoe were cast to be those big names. Fair enough. Yeah. Lionsgate then went behind Mary Harron's back and cast Leonardo DiCaprio in the lead role.
I would have loved to have seen that.
So because of that, Mary Harron quit. She left the project altogether and was replaced by Oliver Stone as director. Stone would then go on to cast James Woods, Cameron Diaz, and Chloe Savini. But DiCaprio then fucked off and left the project to go and film The Beach. And at this point, DiCaprio had demanded $21 million to play the lead role.
Fucking hell.
Bearing in mind, the budget for this film is $7 million. So in order to give everyone the money they wanted, they had to increase the budget to $40
million. Fuck it.
So the budget was just out of control. And because of that, Oliver Stone then quit and left the project. And Lionsgate rehired Mary Harron, who just fired everyone that Stone had cast, apart from Chloe Sevigny. She kept her. And then Christian Bale came back onto the role as well.
That is mental.
So, lots of drama.
Yeah.
But just bearing in mind, like, this film made $31 million off a $7 million budget, which is a great return. Like, that's five times its budget. Imagine if it had a $40 million budget.
But saying that, if it had a $40 million budget with those folk in it, you're going to get the folk on opening weekend going to see that, make that back.
But it's still a kind of film, though. That's not real. Because this film initially got an NC-17 rating. Like, this got the X rating.
Yeah.
So you're not, and it obviously this is a hard R film. You're not, this is not a family film that all the kids are going to see.
Oh, I know that, but you got to realise back then, if you had Leonardo DiCaprio, Cameron Diaz, all those names that you were saying, especially Oliver Stone directing, that's just like instant print money back then.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter if it was a good film or not. That would just be, you'd be into the 40s anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be they would see it as a big budget blockbuster.
Oh yeah, definitely. So this is definitely a slam as well. Bret Easton Ellis based Patrick Bateman. I'm Batman. Based Patrick Bateman. Did you just stifle a yawn?
No, the fucking the cat. She was fucking trying to like mount my head. I was like, "Fuck, get off!" Like, anyway,
I thought I was boring you, Nico.
No, not at all. I'm trying to fucking.
Bret Easton Ellis based Patrick Bateman on his own father. his dad must have been a prick.
He's not. Well, the thing is, if his dad's a true psycho, he'd be like, "Nice."
Bret Easton Ellis was also sent several death threats following the publication of the novel.
Why?
Because it's grim. I'm underselling how grim this book is.
Like, I know there was a thing about fucking the guy that wrote this has obviously killed somebody. Somebody said to it one time, and I'm like, I'm really gonna have to read that book.
Oh, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, all the comments about, oh, if people tell you that they like American Psycho, they themselves are fucking insane. Like, they're psychos, they're murderers. Like, that is rife on the internet. That sort of train of thought. Whilst he was still attached to the film, DiCaprio was actually protested against by feminist activists for him to not make this movie at all, since a large part of his fan base was young women, and they thought it would ruin his career. So, like, DiCaprio got protested against as well. So Hip to Be Square, you all know the scene, it's the famous scene, isn't it, the Hip to Be Square axe scene. To Be Square was initially included in the official movie soundtrack, right? They didn't have the rights. They didn't actually have the rights to Hip to Be Square, so they had to recall the soundtrack. Imagine that, imagine putting it on when you don't even have the rights.
Doesn't fucking surprise me, though.
What else have I got? I think that's it. Oh no, there's a couple of other names who were attached to the role of Patrick. I know you like these. Anyone you want to have a guess at? We know obviously DiCaprio, and we know Ed Norton. So you also could have had. Sorry, you're gonna have a guess?
No, I'm just trying to think of who was like famous back then that they would. That would have fitted in this role, and I just nobody off the top of my head, like.
Okay, so Jared Leto was also in consideration for Patrick.
Yeah.
Which might lean into your theory that they swapped places. Maybe that was it.
There you go.
Maybe he actually was cast as Patrick all along.
What this is, it's actually Face Off. They just did a Face Off 2. And this is what this movie is.
Mila Kunis is actually playing John Travolta.
She's playing John Travolta. Where's John Travolta in this movie, you cunt?
He's in Face Off!
Yeah, I'm saying this is the follow-up, not...
Oh, okay. Anyways, so I've got a couple other names. Ewan McGregor.
Ooh, that could have been interesting.
None of these names are bad. None of these names are bad, by the way. These are all good names.
No, but I'm just thinking of him. Could you imagine him doing it like when he played in Shallow Grave? That would be fucking brilliant in this, like that type of car, I think.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, but he's associated with everything.
That's true. And Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that could have been good. John Wick is Patrick Bateman.
Neo is Patrick Bateman.
Bill is Patrick Bateman.
No, that would be good.
Dude.
That's it then. That's all I've got for trivia. Is there any other little bits of knowledge that you have?
No.
No. Okay, let's move on to our next segment then, which is the ratings and the reviews.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
We will start off with the critics, as we always do. IMDb scored this movie a 7.6 out of 10. Metacritic scored this a 64. The Rotten Tomatoes critic scored this a 69. Nice. Percent fresh. And the Rotten Tomatoes audience giving this 85%. Critics' consensus, if it falls short of the deadly satire of Bret Easton Ellis' novel, American Psycho still finds its own blend of horror and humour, thanks in part to a fittingly creepy performance by Christian Bale. We obviously always throw it out to you guys, our followers and listeners on our social media, and on average you guys gave this movie an 8.9 out of 10, so a really high score there. Boomer, friend of the show, says it's a really high 9.5 out of 10. Amazing performances and direction. It's scary, it's funny, and it's a film that has a lot to say. The Unnamed Murder Podcast gives that 7. The book is better and more terrifying. Sean Murphy gives that an 8. One of my faves. After you read the book, your opinion changes. Not Tanner gives that a 10. I loved it. Bale did an amazing job. The writing was incredible and everything was just so well done. Also, friends of the show, the Baron's Hideout Podcast gives us a 9. Love the movie, but it's not perfect. And finally, Daniel Ryan, the Nightmare Nerd, gives us an 8 out of 10. It's a marvellous movie, but it does show its age in certain areas and also gets a bit corny at times. But even though, like, when I'm reading through there, all the there are criticisms. I think a 7 out of 10 is pretty much the lowest score that this movie gets. Like, everyone really, really likes this film. So thank you to everyone for giving us your opinions on this movie. Nico, on a scale of 0 to 10, what will you rate American Psycho?
I'll give this an 8.5.
An 8.5. Here, I've got a bone to pick with you, Nico, actually.
Uh-oh.
I thought you hated half scores.
I tend to hate half scores.
Right, because I've been looking through our ratings, right?
And I've got more half scores than you.
I've given three scores that are not bang on at point, right? This is your 7th half score.
And it's not the half that I don't like.
No, no, because you really had a go at me for giving something a half score once.
No, I had a go at you because you were giving it like a 0.8 or something.
I gave Halloween a 9.8.
Yeah, that's the one I was having a go at you about.
Well.
Like, half scores is fair enough, but when you dissect it into 0.1, you're like, you might as well make it out of 100. You know what I mean?
Not happy with you, Nico.
That's what I was having a go about, not the 0.5. But you can easily take a half off if it's a good performance, but it hasn't hit the spot.
Okay. One thing I've not really... What are you taking points off for?
Oh, it's 8.5 because rewatching it, it does look a bit dated now. That's a point off for that. And the half is off for just because it leaves it open. And I quite like films like this to be closed. I would have liked them to have it. You know, it is all in his head, or if it's not.
Yeah.
Does he get away with it? I would have liked that better ending, basically.
I am really kind of struggling with this one to think of anything to criticise it for.
Are you giving it a 10?
No.
No,
I think I'm gonna give this a 9 out of 10, and I'm more 9.7, and I'm taking a point off simply for the fact that There's just other films I like better. If that makes sense.
That's understandable, but you're not based it on other films. There's nothing really you can base this one on.
No, but I base it off what I've rated other films.
I suppose.
So, like, I look at what I've rated. Like obviously I've rated Halloween 9.8. That is my favourite movie of all time. If I was going to give out a 10, that's the film I would give it to.
0.8. 0.9.
Do you want me to just give it a 10?
I would be happier if you just gave it a 10.
Right, you know what? I'm going to retrospectively change it to a 10, because it doesn't actually change the overall. It's still got a 9.1.
Change it to 9.5 or 10. One of the two.
9.99.
And this was the last show of Podcasts of the Damned and Equal.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10. I think you're right. I think there's certain things that are not. I don't even know if that's a criticism though, because this is a movie that's made in 2000 that's meant to be in the 1980s, and it looks like it was about the 1980s.
But it came for it. It doesn't look like it was done in the 80s. It looks like it was done in the like mid 90s. Reflecting back, because there's a lot of films like that, and those tend to not date as well, if you know what I mean.
Okay. And well, that's where my score is anyway. So, all of our scores combined with the critics' scores gives American Psycho an average score of 8 out of 10. It gives it the exact same score as Near Dark.
Cool.
Which one do you prefer?
Near Dark.
That's funny because you also gave Near Dark an 8.5.
But yeah, for different reasons. But yeah,
I know. I'm only teasing. It puts it though one place above Scream, which was last week's episode, and one place below The Lost Boys.
Okay.
Just in good company.
Yeah, like put it this way, I prefer this movie to Scream, and I prefer Lost Boys to this movie, so it fits quite well in there for me.
It's like, listen, we're still, our leaderboard is still young. It's still only 18 spots filled. It's slowly getting there, and there's loads and loads of films still to come. Is American Psycho, you know, if we reach 100 episodes, 200 episodes, whatever, is American Psycho going to stay in the top 10? No.
No.
No. But it's definitely going to be in this, I would say, the sort of top third of movies.
It's going to be in ones that you'd recommend to watch, but it's not going to be the top one you'd recommend to watch.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment. Let's move on to the bad Letterboxd review segments. This is where I trawl the movie review site Letterboxd for some of the weirder reviews that are posted on there. We've had some odd ones over the years. There were actually, I really struggled to find really weird ones for this film, which I'm surprised at, because most of the negative comments were just being like, if you like this film, you're a misogynist, you're a homophobe. And I was just like, oh, that's not funny.
You're a psycho.
You're a psycho. That's original. Like this person, but I think this person took things just a little too far. I hope this movie and all its viewers die.
But if they've reviewed it, they would die too.
Exactly.
Maybe they're just suicidal.
Yeah, maybe it's Courtney.
It is. That's what I was just the way to say. She's watched it, she's realised that I should just end it now.
This next comment is one of those sort of comments. It simply says, he murders women. Why? I can't help but notice that the first two kills in the film, he kills men.
Yeah.
He also kills the janitor, he kills the night watchman, he kills two policemen. I actually think he kills more men in this film than women.
Yeah. Hmm. But that's the ones you see, but when he's gone over the amount of folk that he's killed, it's the same amount of prostitutes and homeless people. But technically it would be more men.
This person, is upset with the casting. He's not even American. He's Welsh. What the fuck?
So here's the thing. What American actor would you like more?
What American? I think we've already gone over this, that Keanu Reeves is who we want.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I would have loved to have seen Keanu Reeves do this.
Up next, this person just lost all concept of time. You could tell me the movie's 3.5 hours long, and I would believe you.
Why?
I think it felt like a long movie to them.
Okay.
There all I cared about was how nice Patrick Bateman's apartment was. It was a nice apartment.
It was alright, but yeah, Alan's was better.
It's a bit too clean.
Yeah. He's obviously got a decent cleaner.
Yeah, or he's just never there. He's always in Paul Allen's.
Well, yeah.
Don't watch this with your dad.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's for the sex scenes.
Okay.
And finally, I don't know if these two things are really linked. My ex used to love this movie, and he's a butcher now.
Maybe thinking he was doing it right, I don't know.
He's just getting some tips. Every time you walk into his butcher shop, American Psycho's just playing in the background.
I do not we dance when folk walk in.
Yeah, exactly. Nico.
Yes.
How well do you know American Psycho?
Hello, Amanda. I want to play a game.
Not very.
Well, we're about to find out. We haven't had a quiz for a couple of weeks because we didn't do one last week and you weren't here the week before.
Yeah.
So, let's do this. Out of five, did you get a 5 last time or was it a 4?
I think it was a 4 last
time. You got a 4 last time, but you got a 5, yeah, because you got a 4 for Night Watch. Yeah. And you got the 5, you got your 5 for Hocus Pocus, which I know
you're so... The only one I've got a 5 for.
Which I know you're so proud about. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. It was actually quite tricky to pinpoint which 5 to pick here, because there's so much shit I could have went with.
Oh,
I feel like I've not made it too difficult, though. So, what is Patrick's job title on his business card?
Fucking... I'm trying to remember, because he's not the vice president, that's one of the other ones. I'm trying to remember, what is it? Fucking... Would it be executive?
Is that your guess?
I'm trying to remember how it works. So you've got like manager, director, president, vice president, chief executive. So you'd be executive of something. But what I'm trying to think, executive of wanking, I've no idea.
Do you want me to spoil it for you?
Yeah, go on.
It's vice president.
Fuck off. He's not a vice president as well, is he?
He's vice president. They all say that.
Oh, they all...
All their cards are the same. They all have the same number.
Yeah, yeah.
They all have the same spelling mistakes. All their business cards are the same.
Except their names, yeah. And I literally just said, well, he's a vice president. I talked myself out of the correct answer there. Good. That was lovely.
Question 2. Well, there goes your 5.
Yeah.
When the model at the nightclub asks Patrick what he does for a living, what does he answer?
I genuinely can't imagine.
Could we get your first 0?
No. Fucking... What does he say there? Acquisitions, is it not?
No, he does not.
Investment banking, is it not?
No. He actually says murders and executions.
Oh, okay.
Which she then mistakenly hears as murders and acquisitions.
Aye, mergers and acquisitions, that's aye.
So it's 0-2. This is not going well. It's question 3, and I need this to be 100% spot on.
Oh God.
What does the ATM ask Patrick to do near the end of the movie?
Feed it the cat.
I need it verbatim.
Oh, you fucking kidding me, really?
Yes.
I'm sure it just says feed me the cat, is it not?
It's you're so close.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. No,
you watched this today, Nico.
I know! Fucking, what is it? Is it please feed me the car or something?
Oh, and you're so close!
you're just being a knob now. What do you you got me second guessing because I talked myself out the executive one. Oh.
Right, I need a final answer from you.
Final answer?
Yeah.
See, I want to change it to pussy or something now. You know, right? I'm sure it says cut.
You going with just feet? Is that what you're going with?
No, it fucking... Oh, you're a dick. You've got me second guessing myself now. So it's not feed me the cut. It's got to be... Fucking... Is that a stray cut? Feed me a stray cut.
Correct! You got there!
Oh.
That was a fucking ordeal. That was hard work, Nico.
That was fucking... Because you had me fucking thinking I was getting it totally wrong. Because I'm like, is it feed me the pussy?
No, I said you were close. I said you were so close.
I know.
I wasn't lying. Right, anyway. You've got one. Well done. Question four. What brand is the night bag that Patrick uses to dispose of Paul Allen's body?
Gucci, fuck knows. I know he says it to the gay guy, but I can't remember. Oh no, no, it's Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Correct.
Yes.
There you go. See, you're not doing so bad. And finally, question five. What city does Patrick say that Paul Allen went to after he murdered him?
I see, he says two. He says Paris and he says London.
He chooses one of those.
On the answer machine, he says London. Straight after he kills him, he says Paris.
Okay, but which one does he tell people?
Well, I'm guessing London, since it's on the answer machine.
Correct, it says London.
But he does say those two, like...
He does say those two, but he tells people that he went to London.
Oh, okay.
So you got 3 out of 5.
That's better than I thought I was going to do, to be honest.
Well, to be honest with you, that was hard fucking work.
Well, because it was the cut one. You fucked me up with that, you like. Because fucking all I can think about now is, what does it say exactly on it? Even now I'm second guessing myself.
I told you you were right!
I know!
Oh dear. Anyways, let's move on to our final segment, shall we? And that is the mailbag. So we've got a couple of messages this week. We've got an email and we've got a voice message to play. Which one shall we go with first?
Voice message.
We'll go for the voice message. So this one comes, once again, from friend of the show, Boomer.
Hi, this is Boomer. I've been called away to London for a few days. Ian, Nico, I'll call you when I get back. Hasta la vista, baby. By the way, American Psycho, 9.5 out of 10. Great movie.
Thank you very much, Boomer, for that voice message. I hope he enjoys his business trip in London. I hope nothing untoward happens to him.
Well, technically something already has fucking already happened to him.
Did you get the joke, Nico?
Yeah. Something already has happened to him, that's why.
He's actually in Paris.
Aye.
He's feeding stray cats.
He's actually got an axe in his face.
He's feeding stray cats to ATM machines.
You're a dick. I'm still fucking thinking I've got it wrong, even though you've told me I've got the right answer. Hate when you do that to me.
Oh, but yes, thank you very much, Boomer, for that voice message. 9.5 out of 10 he gave it, so a big movie for him.
Yeah, I get that.
Let's move on to the email. This is, I know who it's from, but this is, we're reading this out as anonymous. Okay. So
tell me who it is later.
I'll tell you later. You don't know them.
Oh.
It's your mum. No, I'm joking.
Your ma's emailing me again.
Sell him at Avon.
No, yeah, Dar sells Avon.
I know, but we'd already gone with that. Anyways.
Your Dar sells Kunzel.
Your Dar's an inner lady. anyways. So, this email reads as, I just finished the Scream episode, which was obviously our episode last week. It took a few days to get to it because I've been doing long hours, blah, blah, blah. I'm not blah 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 in your email. I agree that it isn't the best horror movie, but that it did break new ground and is one that I like to revisit, especially when I want to watch something I'll know I'll enjoy. I didn't mind 2, I quite liked parts of 4, but 3 in my opinion was rubbish. Were we both of the opinion that we didn't like the sequels, or was that just me?
Yeah, they were all quite crap.
Okay, fair enough.
They progressively get worse. I think 2's tolerable, 3's slightly better than 4. That's the way I would see it.
I can't vote for five then. This person thinks
I hope they've done a twist on it, remember?
This person thinks that it was Billy that killed Tatum because she was going to get a beer for Stu. But she said, but this person said they could be mistaken. Remember we had that conversation about who killed who?
Yeah.
They think that Billy killed Tatum.
Right.
And then they go on to say...
You kill your girlfriend.
Because we did throw out a nipple question last week.
Oh, God.
We've got an answer. I'm not sure if your nipple question was rhetorical. I'd just like to say, no questions that we ask you guys, the listeners, are rhetorical. If we ask you guys questions, let us know your thoughts and answers. I want to hear them all. There is no rhetorical questions. But in case it wasn't, the answer is yes. Permanently erect nipples are a thing. And they have their advantages, obviously, but they could also be a bit annoying. Or at the very least, require some planning with wardrobe, because you can't just wear a singlet or anything that is super close to your skin without a padded bra, unless you want no one making eye contact with you. I find there are more advantages than disadvantages, though. As far as frequency, I've seen most of my female friends' breasts, and it doesn't seem to be particularly common, but they are out there. Get it? They're out there. Too much info, but I figured I have an answer for your question, so I may as well share my knowledge. So there you go. What do you think of that?
Well, it's a bit of a poignant question.
It's a pointed question, that's what it is. Also, yes, definitely get into the Chucky series when you get a chance. We talked about that last week as well. It is brilliant, and I'm kind of jealous that you get to binge it. Yes, we do. Cha-ching. I usually do A Nightmare on Christmas Street. A Nightmare on Elm Street
that
marathon.
That sounds like a great crossover. Yeah.
A Nightmare on Elm Street marathon on Christmas Day, but I think this year I might add Chucky to the mix and rewatch. Take care. So thank you to this person for sending in your email. I really appreciate it. And to all you guys out there, feel free. Any of the things that we've been talking about in this week's episode, what's some of the things we've been talking about this week? I want to know, right? This is what I want to know. I want to know the worst film to take a first date to the cinema to see. That's what I want to know.
I already know that one.
What is it?
It's I Spit in Your Grave.
Oh, you've told me about that. Oh. Oh, well, if anyone else has some bad first date movies at the cinema stories, I want to hear about them. Email us, podofthedamned@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about American Psycho. So you can let us know about what you thought of any of the previous 17 episodes that we have covered before this as well. And you will also send us your thoughts about next week's show, which I will let you all know what is the subject of in just a few moments. Until then, that is it for this week's show. Nico, thank you as always for joining me.
Thank you for having me on again.
No problem. Up next on the show, we are going to be reviewing... I think this is my choice again. Sorry. That means you'll get a good few weeks in a row. We are reviewing Splinter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in my opinion, a very underrated movie. I don't know if you've seen that one, right? I don't think you have.
No, I haven't. That's why you picked it.
That's why I picked it. Okay, so... Because it's not often... We haven't covered a lot of films that you've not seen before, right?
I know. And that's why I'm like, I will not watch it. Because you spoke about this. And you were like, oh, we'll do that one. I'm like, I don't think I've seen that one. And then I looked it up on... I think it was IMDb or something. I looked it up. And I'm like, that doesn't ring a bell. So I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, because obviously we've both been horror fans for a long time. There's not a lot of stuff that we've not seen. Or not a lot of stuff that, you know, if we wanted to see it, then we haven't had that opportunity to. So I'm going to be really interested to see what you think about it.
I also said I'm just going to watch it once before we review it.
Mm-hmm. So
it'll be proper fresh.
Yeah, so I'm very, very interested to see what you think about it. But that is next week's show, so don't forget, you can email us about what your thoughts are on Splinter. Just go email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Damned Podcast. You can also get us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Podcast of the Damned. So, that is it. Thank you once again, Nico, for joining me. Thank you to everyone who's downloaded, listened to this week's and all our previous week's episodes. And until next week, you all stay spooky out there.